We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Bear Down Ballers. March Madness is finally here. I'm Ryan Wall. He's Jordan Pollock. And Jordan, what are your thoughts about the overall bracket and Arizona seeding going into the tournament?
It's finally here, folks. The bracket's finally here. I think, surprisingly, Arizona got a very great pull. I think out of all the really top two seeds, I feel like Arizona's spot matched up the best. There are some good teams in their path, but I don't think there's any teams that just the way they play, Arizona is really going to struggle with. And I think specifically, I think just very physical on-ball defensive teams. I think most namely Iowa State and Houston. I think having those teams on opposite sides of the bracket really helps Arizona. There are still a few teams. I think probably the best defensive team, I think, on this side of the bracket probably is New Mexico, and that they could have an opportunity to play them at the Sweet 16. But again, that's going to be really a majority of all their first players is tournament experience. So that'll be a tough matchup if they get there. But there's a lot of winnable things, and they're my favorites out of their side of their bracket, and I think a majority of people have them as the favorite out of the side of the bracket as well.
Yeah, I think kind of unlike last year, I remember looking at last year's bracket, Arizona had more of a tough draw, and this year I totally agree. The second that we saw the bracket unveiled, I texted you and I was like, you know, Arizona kind of lucked out. They didn't get an easy path. There's no easy path in March Madness, as we saw last year when Arizona lost to 15 seed Princeton in the first round. But yeah, I do think Arizona has a couple teams in this bracket. You know, Alabama, they're kind of on the down swing of things, and Baylor is right above them in the bracket. Could see them potentially down the line. I don't think Baylor is too great this year. I think it's one of their worst teams in recent memory. Still a top five seed, so they're still pretty good. But we'll see with that. But Jordan, before we get into March Madness and we get into our final four picks, which we'll get into later, I wanted to talk and get our thoughts about the Oregon loss in the semifinal of the Pac-12 tournament this past week. And on Friday, Arizona lost 67-59. They lost to Oregon in this game, and spoiler, Oregon ended up beating Colorado to win the Pac-12 tournament championship, get an automatic bid when they were nowhere near the tournament before that. But what'd you think about this loss? And this is what was a typical game from, like, a typical down game from Arizona's top three guards. They were 6-for-23 from the field. That's Boswell, Love, Larson. But what were your overall thoughts on this one?
I would say the biggest name that was most impactful in this game was Nafali Dante with Oregon, because he had a very awkward land in the opening minutes when Umar Ballo got him up in the air on a shot fake right under the hoop. He had an awkward fall, kind of went to the locker room, trying to stretch it out, got on a bike, and he was out for, I think it was maybe like 8 minutes. Most of the whole first half was played, and I think he came in, I think it was about the 7 minute mark. And Oregon pretty much only had one center that they had on their bench. They've already been dealing with injuries. And so I think at that point it was time for Arizona to pounce. And they kind of got stagnant in a sense. And we were texting during the game, and I was just like, it feels like they're still trying to like figure out what the flow of the game is without Dante, instead of trying to force their will over what Oregon doesn't have in a sense. Like, and they just got in a weird rhythm. And they got, I think, close to a 10-point lead at one point without Dante. And I think it was right inside of 10 at halftime. But that second half, Oregon came out with another vengeance. Dante was great. And it was just surprising, because he'd go one end of the court, he'd have a block or impact a shot in one way, get a rebound, and go to the other way and get a put back. He was great, especially even in the championship. He dropping 25. He was really the anchor of that Oregon team that pretty much the whole year has been up and down shooting wise, where it seems like they'll win games based off their 3-point shot or they'll lose games based off their 3-point shot. And just having a strong presence like that, it's kind of been Arizona with Umar Ballo in a sense, to where he's kind of always just been, he's always been a stable position guy that's going to get you rebounds and going to get you some points. But his scoring output, especially against Arizona and Colorado, was huge for them winning the Pac-12 and stealing a spot from some of those bubble teams that were trying to get into the tournament. And yeah. So with that said, like, it's a long weekend for them, and everybody's really quick to put a lot of biasness over the conference championship week. Me, I'm doing it with NC State. I love my boy DJ Burns, but it's a hard thing to do, to win that many games in that few days and then get ready to play another game within a week that's going to be the biggest game of your entire season. But they played well. Like I said, Arizona just got super stagnant offensively. Didn't really know, I think, how to attack Oregon. Didn't really know what to do in that situation. And when Dante got back in the game, Arizona just was still in a place of not really for sure knowing what to do. And Oregon just went to work.
Yeah, I agree with that. Dante is a star. He's really good. He's the veteran of this Oregon team. They have a bunch of young players on this team, and if you look at the stat sheet, you'd be like Dante was hurt. He wasn't hurt. He had 14, 10, 4 blocks. He was dominant. But yeah, he was out a couple of minutes, but when he was in, he bounced right back. But the biggest thing to me was just the shot making by Jermaine Cousinard, Jackson Shellstad. They're two young guards, great young backcourt for years to come for Oregon. And those guys made 7 threes combined, hit them at about a 50% rate, were just excellent. And I think that was the difference. It seemed like every big shot, it wasn't even like they were open a lot of the times. It was just highly contested shots. They were going in, they were making them. And like I said from the top, Arizona is going to go as far as those top three guards take them. It's that simple. Caleb Love just didn't have it in this Pac-12 tournament. He was ice cold for both of Arizona's games, and these are the moments that you need him to come up big. And so it is concerning, and I was really concerned after this game. Obviously, we get a bracket, we get hyped up, we get excited, but after this game, it just, for that to be your last performance heading into March Madness, it's way different than we've seen this team, because like we've talked about, Jordan, the last couple of years, Arizona won both the last two previous Pac-12 tournament championships. They were on fire and one of the hottest teams in the country in both of the last 2 years. And now they're heading into the tournament, the opposite of Oregon. They're ice cold. And in this game, it just nobody could really get anything going. Balo kind of had a similar line to Dante, still a really good performance from him, 14, 12, and 5 blocks. But we've talked about it. Balo is going to get you that every game. He's really consistent, but he's not the guy that's going to propel this team forward and take them where we hope to see them come March. Do you have any other final thoughts about this game before we move on to Arizona's first matchup?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think especially namely at the point guard position with Boswell, I think that's been a pretty big talking point, especially on Twitter within the Arizona basketball community, is when Arizona gets deep runs, they have elite point guard play. You look at 97, Mike Bibby, especially 2014 and 15, you had Nick Johnson and TJ McConnell. That's a big thing that this program really relies on, having great, good to great point guard play that's not going to turn the ball over, going to give you some scoring himself, and is just not going to hurt you in a sense. And I think that's one thing that Boswell has just got to work on. And I think right now it's as simple as defend. Don't be overmatched by your matchup in a sense. And I think that's one thing that'll get this team far, especially if they can lock down on the defensive end and they can force turnovers and they can get running. That's how this team's going to make a deep run.
Yeah. Also, Boswell just lacks so much confidence to me when he plays. He just doesn't know where or when to find the right spots to either hit a pull up three, to drive it in the lane, to get his teammates involved. It seems like he's still growing in the offense, and it's just really frustrating to watch this offense, to be honest, Jordan. It really, all year, the beginning of the year, we didn't know how these guards would fit, and then throughout the year, they had a lot of success. We're not taking that away from them. They did achieve that, beat a bunch of really good teams, but now we're at the point where I just thought this offense would be clicking and would be firing on all cylinders, and they're not doing that right now. It just seems like they lack an elite shooter on this team. Something when I was watching the game and I kept thinking to myself is that Arizona just has too many of the same types of players. Every single guy, Pelo Larsen and Caleb Love, yeah, on a good night, they're an above average shooter. But on a bad night, they're pretty bad. And then when you bring in Jaden Bradley and KJ Lewis off the bench, whenever they get the ball, the first thing is they don't shoot it. They're passive shooting it from deep. They drive inside the lane. They look for a mid-range jumper. That's what all four of those guards do, not counting Boswell, as he's mainly the point guard. So I really just don't like this mix of these guys. I don't think it works well. I think guys like Larsen need to catch and shoot more, be ready to shoot. And I think I've loved Jaden Bradley and KJ Lewis, is, you know, production and the way their growth this year. But I just think that I just don't think they really fit too much too well. And I think another thing that I texted you late in the game is it just was concerning to see Boswell and Love benched for KJ Lewis and Jaden Bradley late in this game. I know they weren't having great games, but the ball still, like I said, this team is going to live and die by Caleb Love late in games. And to me, you have to put the ball in his hands. The reason Caleb Love is an Arizona Wildcat is for late game moments. So I think that's inexcusable. And I think Tommy Lloyd needs to put and keep Love in the game late in the games. What'd you think about, you know, the substitutions late in that one?
Yeah, I don't think I was as opposed to it as you were, just because of the struggles that they were having in the game. And when KJ Lewis and Bradley were in the game, they were active on defense. KJ did have a steal. I think that's, especially in some of the games this year, I feel like some of their bench minutes have led some pretty big runs that's helped this team. And I think that was kind of just the thought process behind it. And maybe they just need more minutes, more so within the middle 20 minutes, the last 10 minutes of the first half and the first 10 minutes of the second half. I know I know Tommy's kind of moved around with benching Boswell at a halftime at times with Bradley. I think that's probably the smartest way to do it and to stay specifically with Boswell's minutes and try to be a little more flexible between him and Bradley. But I completely understand your position with Caleb Love and you shooters, great shooters. You want at least to give them the opportunity to shoot out of a bad game.
100%.
Caleb does that.
And also, I'm more saying Caleb Love than Boswell. Boswell because Boswell's production has been down and he is a younger player. I'm just saying Caleb Love because these are the moments that you have him for. And we're going to get into it in a couple minutes, but this time of year is where Caleb Love and Keyshawn Johnson have the experience. That's why Tommy Lloyd brings you here is to get these big moments to win big games. But Jordan, let's not wait any longer. Although Arizona had a down performance, they're still safely in the tournament. They got a 2 seed, which they were dancing on the 1 seed line for a couple of weeks. They ended up getting the 2 seed, and it seems like we both kind of think it worked out well for them. They're in the West region. The Sweet 16 Elite Eight is going to be held in LA. They start off this Thursday, though, this weekend in Salt Lake City, Utah, so not too far from Tucson as it is other places. And they're playing Long Beach State in the first round, the Big West champions. They won their tournament. And really an interesting story that caught the eyes of the college basketball world is Dan Monson, their head coach. They fired earlier in the week before the conference tournament, but let him play the conference tournament out. They ended up winning it this past week, and now they find themselves against Arizona here. And Arizona has some familiarity with Long Beach State. They've played them 7 times. Arizona most recently beat them by 47 points in 2019. As we know, Arizona was supposed to play them this season. That non-conference game got canceled as Arizona and Lloyd scheduled multiple big non-conference ones this year. But what were your first thoughts when you saw this matchup in the first round? It's going to take place on Thursday, as I said, 11 a.m. in Tucson at 2 p.m. on the East Coast on TBS.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
I think my initial reaction, it's a good draw, but you also don't want to flirt with, quote, teams of destiny. And that's one thing with this Long Beach State team is, like, they come to agreement with their coach, like, hey, like, you guys have not played a good season. Like, you guys aren't going to get very far in the tournament, and we'll let you coach through it. But when you guys lose, we'll call it quits, basically. And they ran the table with house money, and they got themselves into the tournament. And I still do agree with you. Like, historically, Long Beach State doesn't match up super well against Arizona. One interesting component of the game is Lute Olson's first big college job was actually at Long Beach State in the 73 season, right before he went to Iowa, which then he proceeded to go to Arizona right after. So that's an interesting little historical fact with this team. I don't see Arizona really having a ton of trouble with this team. That conference is pretty good usually. Go ahead.
Long Beach State did play a couple notable non-conference opponents this year. They didn't play Arizona, obviously, but they did beat some other big or power five teams, per se. They beat DePaul by 4 points. Obviously, they weren't very good this year. Mm-mm. Beat Michigan by 8 points. They were horrible this year, but still a power five team. And then they beat USC, who was up and down this year. They beat them by five, and they lost to San Diego State, who's a top five seed. They lost to them by 12 points. So they've been pretty competitive here.
That's a wicked non-conference. Yeah. It's like better than half the Big 12.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they did play a bunch of pretty good teams, but their leading scorer is Marcus Tzohanis, if I said that correctly. He's averaging close to 18 points a game, and he's a former Washington Husky a couple years ago after he transferred a few times. But yeah, this team they only average on 77 points per game. They only shoot it about 30% from 3-point land. And Jordan, they only have their tallest player that in their rotation is 6'10". So, I mean, it seems like this could be a great matchup for Paolo to feast in this one. And yeah, but they do have five players in double figures. They're a guard heavy group. And yeah, I agree. I got Arizona winning this one. I think they're going to be, although they lost, as we know, disappointing one to Oregon a couple days ago, they're going to be motivated more than ever, not just the players, but Tommy Lloyd knows he needs this one. I know he just recently got a contract extension, but his first 2 years made a Sweet 16, second year, obviously last year, lost to Princeton. You got to win a couple games in the tournament. He knows that. But Jordan, I wanted to move down the bracket in Arizona's region and look at some potential matchups and what we think the matchups are going to be. So let's go with their round of 32 matchup in the second round. Who do you think they're going to play? Do you think they're going to play Nevada or Dayton? It's a 10-7 matchup. And Nevada, who's the 10 seed, is actually, I believe, a 1.5-point favorite in that first round matchup. So who do you think they're going to play?
Yeah, I love what Steve Alford's did in Nevada. I think they're going to upset Dayton in that game. Our Field of 68, Jeff Goodman, he's been really big on that conference and was pretty upset with the underseedings that Nevada, New Mexico State, Colorado, some of the underseedings that happened with some of the Mountain West teams. And so I think they're going to win that first round matchup in an upset fashion, which will create a very interesting game because Nevada's coach is the former UCLA coach, Steve Alford, also former All-American from Indiana. And so that's an interesting Pac-12 historical game to where we get carry on a little bit of UCLA hatred into that game.
Their star, Jared Lucas, was former Oregon State star from a couple of years ago. I believe he's in his fifth or sixth year now, in his second year at Nevada. But yeah, he led Oregon State to win a Pac-12 tournament championship a couple of years ago when they weren't anywhere near the tournament, and they went on a pretty good run in March. But yeah, I got Nevada winning that one too. I think that'll be an interesting matchup against Arizona this year. They have beat some Power 5 teams. They beat TCU. They beat Washington. They beat Georgia Tech, and they beat Temple. Those are their notable power not or non-conference wins. And yeah, they got Keon Blackshear, who's another really good player. He's averaging 15 points per game. And but the thing is about Nevada, kind of like Long Beach State, their tallest player is 6'10", as Long Beach State's is. And so I just don't think playing this Arizona team undersized is gonna benefit other ones. So I think Arizona will beat Nevada in the second game. I think it's gonna be within 10 points, but I think Arizona's gonna get the job done. I think they're gonna get to a Sweet 16. I said a couple of days ago, I wasn't confident Arizona could win two games, but I just like how these matchups played out. And yeah, I think also another component, Jordan, is the location. I think is a big factor. Salt Lake City to LA to the Phoenix area for the Final Four potentially. I really like that path. But do you think Arizona can beat Nevada as well?
I do think they will, and I think they'll win. Arizona will travel pretty well up to Salt Lake City. I don't think Nevada's super huge presence basketball wise. I know football wise they're pretty non-existent fan base, and so I don't have super big optimism that they're gonna try to outcompete our fan base in traveling up there. But it is kind of an interesting sight. It's like, and but like at a T with both Arizona and Nevada,
yeah,
being in Utah. But yeah, I think Arizona will get this win.
Yeah, well, moving on, potential Sweet 16 matchup. This is one of my upsets. You mentioned them, I think, going a little far, maybe winning a game or two, and that's New Mexico. The Lobos, I think, are going to, the 11 seed, I think they're going to face Arizona in the Sweet 16 here in L.A., and I think Arizona is going to beat him. New Mexico has been a great story this year. You know, they're led by Richard Pitino, Rick Pitino's son, obviously. And they have a lot of really good players. Jamal Mashburn, Jalen House. They're really good guards. They also got JT Toppin, Obi Toppin's brother. So that's he's another pretty good player there. So, yeah, I think they're really talented. I think they're going to give Arizona a really good game. But I think Arizona edges this one out by 5 points. Do you think Arizona faces New Mexico, or do you potentially have a Baylor in there?
I do think they will face New Mexico. I think you peeked at my bracket while we were going. But yeah, Richard Pitino's done a great job with this New Mexico team. It's only his third tournament. He made it twice with Minnesota. And Minnesota, like, I'm a Wisconsin guy, maybe it's just my biasness, but Minnesota's a hard place to win. And it's been awesome to see what he's done at New Mexico, especially the transfers he's brought in. Namely former ASU guy, Jaden House. He's been on another tear, dropped 28 in their conference championship over the weekend in New Mexico. They play really well defensively. They're aggressive. They get in transition. Yeah, House leads that team in steals. I think he has almost 100 steals on the season. It's not something pretty crazy like that. But yeah, I think it'll be a great game. I think it'll be up and down. This is that first game that's in LA. So I think Arizona will travel quite a bit better than New Mexico will. Although even Jeff Goodman made a game out there to Albuquerque, to the Pit, and New Mexico fans, they go crazy. One of my best friends is actually went to New Mexico for a year before he transferred to Arizona. And that's the biggest thing is basketball wise, when they're good, they're good.
And I think they'll travel.
And the Albuquerque community loves their New Mexico Lobos basketball. You think they'll travel?
Yeah, I think they'll travel. This is one of their best teams in a while. So yeah, I think that'll be a great game. I really do think that'll be a good one. But I think Arizona has enough to win. But Jordan, I wanted to move on because my next matchup for Arizona in the Elite Eight, hopefully, would be one of the biggest story games of this entire tournament, would be one of the best games. And that's number one, UNC would take on number two, Arizona, in our projected bracket. That's how I have it, at least. Do you have it the same way?
I do not have it the same way.
All right, who do you have?
I've got Alabama. I think just their style of play is so unique, and it's so different for what most people will see And I love Nate Oates, and I love to see what he's done. And his name's been thrown around with other jobs, namely Michigan, because he's from the Midwest. But I think probably Alabama's a better spot for him right now. And just, I think the biggest comparison is those like James Harden and Chris Paul years in Houston. That's what they do. They want to shoot threes and they want to isolate ball screens. And they're either going to get something at the rim or they're going to shoot a three. They're very analytics based. They're long. So I think it'll be a rematch from when these two teams played back in December in Phoenix.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And Sears has been on a tear. I'm not super high on North Carolina. I actually have them in my bracket losing the second round of Michigan State.
Wow.
Which is crazy. But historically speaking, when Michigan State has no reason to be in the tournament, they go on a run for some reason. I don't know why. It just happens.
Yeah, they got overseeded too. They were in, I believe, yes, as a 9 seed. And yeah, they were supposed to look like they were a play-in team.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets, regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request: the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
All right, Jordan, I wanted to ask you about how you see your projected Arizona versus Alabama matchup taking place in the Elite Eight. How do you see that one shaking out?
Well, I definitely don't see it going the way it went in December. I don't think Alabama's going to shoot it as bad. But I also do think Arizona has improved defensively, especially in pick and roll matchups. And that's a huge testament to Umar Ballo and how well he's defended against the bigs. And so I think this will be a very close game. But I do have Arizona winning this matchup in the Elite Eight and getting to the Final Four.
So you have Arizona in the Final Four?
I do have Arizona in the Final Four.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, it would be kind of a great story of a matchup. Arizona versus UNC in my Elite Eight. I have Arizona winning this one. I think this will be a great game. You said you were not that high on UNC. I know they've struggled here and there, but like I said to you before we start recording, I've gone through my bracket so many times in the past, just about 12 hours or so since we got our bracket in our hands. And I think every team is just so flawed that it's just so hard to pick out who is going to advance, who can go to the Final Four. But I like UNC's upside. I like their experience, Armando Bacot, obviously RJ Davis, who took a bigger role since Caleb Love left. And obviously Harrison Ingram, familiar face for Arizona, played at Stanford. He's a really good player as well. So yeah, I think they're pretty deep. I like their guys, but I really think in March it comes down to guards. And I just think RJ Davis has had a great year, but Caleb Love is better than RJ Davis. That might be a hot take for some, but I think he's going to prove it when it matters. I know we just said and we just went over he struggled in the Pac-12 tournament, but he's a big time player, and I still believe in him. And I just think he's more talented than RJ Davis. I think he showed he's the better scorer at UNC for a couple years, and I think he's going to show that again. And I think Arizona actually matched up really well against a potential UNC in that matchup, because I think that Balo against Baycott's a good matchup. And then I think, you know, at some of Arizona's other guards, Pella Larson against RJ Davis, or maybe even a KJ Lewis against RJ Davis. I like that a lot. Favor Arizona there. And like I mentioned, the location, that keeps coming up to me, because Arizona in LA, that would be an incredible Arizona crowd, not too far from Arizona. A lot of people from LA go to school at Arizona. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that live there are Arizona fans. So I think that favors them a lot, but we don't want to sound like homers, but we both have Arizona in the Final Four. I think Arizona wins that one and goes to their first Final Four in quite some time. And this would be great for this program, for this city. But Jordan, who do you have Arizona facing off in the east side of that of the bracket, facing them in a potential Final Four matchup?
So I've got one big Cinderella team out of the east, but I don't think they make it all the way to the Final Four. I do have them going to the Elite Eight and Drake, but I have Drake losing to Auburn, and Auburn coming from the east to play against Arizona in the Final Four in Glendale.
Wow. I've seen some people take Yale to beat Auburn in the first round. I'm not taking Yale. I think Auburn wins that matchup. But no, Auburn really good. Obviously, they had a great SEC tournament, won that one yesterday as we're recording this. So yeah, that's an interesting one. I've gone back and forth too, because, you know, the whole story of this tournament is, the big one to me basically is UConn going to repeat? Hasn't been a repeat champion since 2007, since the Florida Gators did it. That was a long time ago. I don't think they're going to repeat, spoiler, but I also struggled keeping them out of my Final Four. I thought about Illinois. I like them. That's my Elite Eight matchup. But man, I just think UConn is the most complete team in college basketball. We know that's not how this thing works. This is the craziest postseason in all of sports. But yeah, I do think they have enough to get to the Final Four. I think they're really deep, UConn, that is. They have obviously the experience. They lost a couple guys from last year's team, but they've rounded it out really well. So I got UConn, Arizona. You got Auburn, Arizona. And then let's look at the other side of the bracket. I have this South region. I've gone back and forth for so long. I've crossed out a lot of different teams. My final team out of the South region is Marquette. Shaka Smart is 1-7. Wow. As we know, in March Madness, has fallen short a lot of times. But like we talked about before, Marquette relies on one person and one person only, Tyler Kolek, arguably the best point guard in America. He's been out for 3 weeks. He was thinking about coming back in the Big East tournament, never came back. So yeah, I think it seems like he's going to play. And if he's playing, and if he's, I don't know if he's going to be 100%, but if he's close to it, I think Marquette's going to go to the Final Four. Who do you got in the South region?
So we're talking about this. I think the South region is the most loaded. They obviously 100%. Wanted the most chaos out of it. But I think in my favorite bracket, I literally have the top two seeds ending up in the Elite Eight for that matchup with Houston and Marquette. I think Houston's gotten trashed a lot for what they did against Iowa State in the Big 12 championship, which, and Samson was awesome talking about how great Iowa State played and how bad they played. Houston played a true road game in that Big 12 championship. The amount that Iowa State fans travel for those Big 12 tournaments, that's their Super Bowl. Like, let's be honest. The Big 12 tournament is Iowa State Super Bowl.
They had an unbelievable run. Yes, like, I mean, this whole season they've been the biggest kind of underdog kind of team out of nowhere this whole season, and they've really done a lot. I like Houston. I like LJ Cryer. I like Jamal Shedd. I just don't think we've went over this. They're an elite defensive team. I just don't trust their offense. It's that simple for me. I have them losing actually to Duke in the Sweet 16. I think Duke's a more complete team when they put it all together. But Jordan, the team that I was going back and forth with is maybe kind of a surprising one, but Kentucky. I had Kentucky in the Final Four for a bunch of time before I settled on Marquette here a little bit ago. But yeah, I just think Kentucky guards are the stars of the show in March Madness, and they have 3 to 4 really good ones. And I know they're freshmen, but they're just Reed Shepherd. It's just really good. And I just think, you know, they have a lot of guys. But yeah, I went with Marquette. What other thoughts you got about this side?
I've got Houston coming out of the South. I think there are some truth to some of the statement about how much their offense has struggled, but I just don't think their matchups are super dependent on their offense having to show up. I think the teams that I've got in their path, Nebraska, assuming they beat Longwood in that 116 matchup, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Houston, I feel like defensively, if they play well in those games, I don't feel like they're going to need to score more than like 60 to win those games. Nebraska is pretty much a completely shooting dependent team. If they're not hitting their threes, they're not going to get very far. And Houston puts you in a lot of really tough positions, especially when they trap right off of ball screens with their big, and they just put teams in some really funky and different spots. And as much as I love Nebraska and what Fred Hoiberg has done this year, I don't see them being able to break that Houston defense. They're just so aggressive. They don't care who's diving on the floor for loose balls. They get after you. And I think they win that Nebraska matchup. As much as I love my Wisconsin team, I don't think they're going to be able to play super well against the kind of pressure that Houston's going to put up against them. And then same with Marquette. I've went back and forth on Marquette. Shaka Smart really has only one team that he's ever had that's gotten past the second round, and that was at VCU on that historical run. But I just love Samson, and I love the aggressive nature of that defense, and I think it leads to a lot of good offense for this team, and I think they're going to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I would love to see an Elite Eight matchup between Houston and Marquette.
That'd be
unbelievable,
awesome.
Unbelievable guard matchup. Cam Jones, Tyler Kolek, LJ Cryer, Jamal Shedd. That would be unbelievable. I agree. But moving down to the Midwest region, this was kind of a weird, probably the weirdest region for me to kind of go through. I have Purdue coming out of it, but we know their struggles. We don't have to rehash them fully, but they just struggle so much in March Madness. And I think their team is pretty much the same from last year. And I think they kind of just get exposed each year, because they run like they're just not fit for March Madness to me. Zach Edey is likely to win his second back-to-back National Player of the Year, but he's just, to me, when the game slows down, he's just not as dominant when it matters. And I just, for the last couple of years, I didn't trust them last year, and I don't trust their guards this year even. I'm putting them in the Final Four, but it's because kind of a process of elimination. Tennessee's great. Dalton Connect is an elite player. I don't really like the rest of their I don't trust the rest of their team. And Kansas the same way. They're banged up. I was thinking about maybe an upset there. But Purdue, they got Braden Smith, Lance Jones, Fletcher Lawyer, their three other guards, wings. I just don't think they're elite enough. And I don't think they come up in big moments. We saw it this past week. No, that's not the end all be all, but yeah, it's just this one struggle. But then again, on the other side, Jordan, I went back and I was like, one of these years, Purdue has to break through. They got to get to a Final Four. It has to happen eventually, you know?
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, I understand the thought process. I think they have a really hard matchup in my bracket in the Sweet 16. McNeese State, a team of destiny led by Will Wade. They're just down the road in Lake Charles, about 45 minutes from me. I tried to get tickets for the Southland Conference Championship that was played there last Friday. Couldn't get tickets, sadly, but McNeese Cowboys are really good. I think they're a pretty big matchup problem for Purdue. They're super athletic. They put a lot of ball pressure. They try to deny as many easy post passes as they can. They make your guards beat them, and I don't think Purdue has the guard play to match up well against McNeese.
You got them in the Elite Eight?
I've got McNeese in the Elite Eight.
So you have them beating Purdue, or you have them beating Gonzaga, Kansas, and Purdue?
Yeah, legendary run. But
so you have them in the Final Four?
I don't have them in the Final Four. I think this is the year that I think Rick Barnes breaks through, and I think this is the year that Tennessee is able to do it. Dalton Kennect, dude's a baller. Yeah, he had a really hard last game in that SEC champion or SEC. I think it was the semifinals they got to,
mm-hmm.
and or no, it was the quarterfinals. And I love Rick Barnes. I love what Dalton Kennect's done this year. And the team was up until pretty much North Carolina got to the ACC championship. They were a one seed borderline and a tough SEC. That SEC is good. The SEC from top to bottom is better than it's been in years. And I think the easiest way to look at that, Kentucky isn't running away with that conference. Now there's good coaches in the SEC. You've got Bruce Pearl at Auburn. You've got Nate Oates at Bama. Rick Barnes over there. Now Lamont Paris is at South Carolina, and they had a great season. SEC is really good, and I think just the struggle of playing in the SEC, I think, is going to propel Tennessee up. And I even have an SEC matchup for them in the Sweet 16 with South Carolina. But I like Tennessee coming out of the Midwest.
All right, let's get to our Final Four picks. All right, so you have. Out of the East, you have Auburn taking on Arizona. I have UConn taking on Arizona. You go first. Who do you got advancing to the national championship in Phoenix?
I've got Arizona advancing. And I think simply because I think Arizona is a better shooting team when they're on. Auburn's going to try to get Arizona to run. They both play similar styles. Auburn's just quite a bit more aggressive. They run quite a bit more like half court and full court traps and defensively and try to get your guards and in awkward positions, but I think Arizona matches up really well against that. Although I think Umar Ballo is probably the biggest mismatch in that game. I can't remember Auburn's center, but he is good. He's one of their statistical points leaders, but he's mostly an athletic guy. He doesn't have the weight that Ballo has. I like Arizona in that matchup. Moving on to the Natty.
Yeah, as much as I wish that was the same for me, I've gone back and forth with this one for a while. I think Arizona-UConn would be a tremendous matchup. Arizona, as we know, would have the better fan base to me in Phoenix. I know that UConn fans do travel very well, but in the end, I just think UConn's too much. They have five guys that score in double figures. You know, they have a great guy to match up with Ballo. You know, I talked about undersized guys, but this one would not be undersized. Donovan Clingan,
yeah,
unbelievable, likely a top 15 pick. And then to me, I just look at it like they're three-headed monster. They've got their guard and wings, and that's Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, Alex Caravan. I just think those three guys are really tough to beat, and I think they're not the flashy names, but I think they just they always come through, and they are. I mean, Caravan and Newton are really good shooters. And I really think, you know, their experience really helps them in this game. And yeah, I think they're going to go to the national championship. As much as I have debated and you know, tried to not have them, you know, going to the national championship because they just won it. And, you know, some teams do have a letdown.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier in the show, I just think out of every team in college basketball, they have the deepest and most experienced team. So that's why I'm going to go with UConn to get to their second national championship. But moving on,
do you think Bobby Hurley cheers in that matchup for Pac-12 teams?
No.
Especially his rival.
Not a shot. Not a
that
shot.
I would love to see him on the camera in that matchup.
That'd be perfect for him, very close to where he lives.
But closest he'll be to a Final Four.
Ever. At least if he stays at Arizona, he's not getting any, or Arizona State, he's not getting anywhere near there. But moving down to the other matchup on the other side, you have it, Houston taking on Tennessee. Who do you think's going to face Arizona in your projected Final Four?
I've got Houston in that game. I think a matchup. I think they're gonna make everybody but Dalton connect, try to beat them. And I think probably just coaching. I just love Samson, but I think Samson wins the coaching matchup in that with Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes is legendary, but I've got Houston advancing. Just their length and their defense is just it's just overbearing to me. And I think the more I watch breakdowns of them defensively and the way they tag their backside and their help and just the crazy opportunities they present each other in games. And especially being in neutral site spots, Houston will travel well, especially being in the South. I'm pretty sure the Elite Eight is in Houston.
No, it's in Detroit. Or wait.
Nashville.
The Midwest is in Detroit.
Yeah.
I can't
remember where
that one is.
I'm pretty sure it's somewhat close to Houston though.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I it probably wouldn't matter at that point anyway with the Final Four being in Glendale, but I've got Houston. Houston,
so
Arizona.
Don't give your pick yet. I'll give mine first. I'll give mine first. So I have it Marquette, Purdue, and I have Marquette beating Purdue, going to the national championship, a rematch of the Big East championship. But this time it's going to be at full strength. This time Tyler Cole hopefully will be fully healthy. Mm-hmm. And I have Marquette and Shaka Smart cutting down the nets, winning the national championship, beating UConn, getting over their rival. I think they're going to do it. I just really like this team. When Cam Jones is playing at the level he played at in the Big East tournament, he is as elite as any guard in the country. Tyler Kolek, an incredible point guard. And then Oso Iguodala and David Joplin, really good wing pieces there. I just think they also do have a lot of experience, although they haven't gone far in the tournament. They have players that have been in it, you know, a lot of competition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just really like this group. I think Shaq is a really great coach, although they've come up short. But, yeah, I got Marquette. I've come back and forth on it all day and since they announced this. But, yeah, who do you got winning your national championship? You have it Arizona versus Houston, you know, two other teams that haven't won in a long time.
Yep. And it's a rematch from Tommy Lloyd's inaugural season from a Sweet 16 matchup. I've got Houston.
Brings back bad memories.
Yeah, it does. I've got Houston cutting down the nets. Pretty high scoring game. I think it'll be in the 90s. I think this game is just going to be fast paced from start to finish. But yeah, I've got Houston cutting down the nets in their inaugural Big 12 season, winning the regular season championship and winning the Natty. So I've got Houston Cougars.
Sounds good. Yeah. So we got our Final Fours. We got our national championship picks in. I got Marquette winning. Jordan has Houston winning. We both have Arizona in the Final Four, which could be bad, could be good. Did we jinx them? Did we not? We'll find out soon. The first game is against Long Beach State on Thursday, 11 a.m. in Tucson. It's on TBS, 2 p.m. on the East Coast. It's in Salt Lake City. If they win that game, they'll round the 32 game. We'll be on Saturday. We'll have another episode out after their first round game, likely on Friday. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in, for watching, viewing, liking, and subscribing. I'm Ryan Maul. He's Jordan Pollack, and we'll see you next time.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.